So there have been a couple of stories in the news that I want to mention as we begin. Now, I'm sure you know the one, you've been following the story about the Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police, Cressida Dick, who resigned about a week or so ago. And whatever the rights and wrongs of her leaving, she was the public face of the Metropolitan Police. She not only led them, she was in some sense their representative. When she spoke on behalf of the Met. And in the end, she's taken responsibility for what's been going on there. But the other story, some of you might have come across this story, but some of you may not. This involves a footballer called Kurt Zouma. Does that ring a bell? He decided to drop kick a cat, his own cat. And for some bizarre reason, his brother took a video of him drop kicking the cat and posted it on Snapchat. And now Zouma is in massive trouble. Everyone hates him. His cats have been removed. But what I thought was so interesting was how this reflected on his football club. So Zouma plays for West Ham United. Boo. The manager of West Ham is David Moyes. The headline in the paper was, "Moyes puts money before morals with disgusting decision." It must be true, I read it in a tabloid. Except I didn't. That was the headline in The Times. That was written by Henry Winter, my favourite football writer. And he goes on to say this, "It was truly dismaying to see David Moyes pick Kurt Zouma to face Watford 24 hours after a video emerged showing the defender kicking his cat." Now, I don't know what this man Zouma was thinking about. But what he's now realised, if he didn't before, is that he represents West Ham. What he did has reflected on them. It said something about them because he represents them. Another word for representative is ambassador. So we have an ambassador to the United States. What does the ambassador do? He or she represents our government to America. So that when the ambassador speaks, it is the voice of the UK government which is heard. So here's the point for us. The Bible says that if you are a Christian, you are Christ's ambassador. You are his representative, which means that whatever we do matters. Whatever we do has significance. We've just jumped into this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians, a letter to Christians who lived in a city called Colossae, which is in modern-day Turkey. Please, would you have the passage in front of you? I'd love you to have it in front of you because we're going to look at it quite closely. It's all about acting as Jesus' representative, as his ambassador. And it seems to me that Paul has something to say for every day of the week, and he has something to say for every activity of the week. Verses 16 and 17, can you see those? Verses 16 and 17 seem to deal with what happens when we meet together on a Sunday. Verse 16, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly." The message of Christ is the gospel. The gospel is the proclamation that Jesus Christ, through his life, his death, and his resurrection, Jesus has done everything necessary to make a person right with God. That's the message of Christ. One of the reasons that we meet together, the reason that we do the things that we do together, is so that this message can keep on dwelling in us richly. It seems to me that there is this life-giving, life-enhancing connection between what we do on a Sunday and then what we do the rest of the week. So we come together on Sunday, or at the prayer meeting, or into our small group, in order to encourage the message of Christ, the gospel, to keep on dwelling among us richly. And when we come together on a Sunday, Paul says everything matters. So will you look at verse 17 with me? Really important verse. Paul says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed. So that's whether it's teaching or admonishing or singing or making the coffee or setting up or putting away or helping with Sunday club or helping with creche or counting the money or greeting or welcoming or encouraging or giving a lift. He says, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If you are in Christ, you are his ambassador. You represent him in whatever you do or say. And I guess that West Ham footballer is realizing that we can represent well or we can represent badly. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus with thanksgiving. But then the challenge is taking that out of here and into the rest of life. You see, Sunday is not the main event. The rest of the week is the main event. The whole of life is the main event. But we so need our Sundays. We need our prayer meetings. We need our small groups to sustain us for the rest of life, for the rest of the week. We need the message of Christ to dwell in us richly if we are going to be godly, fruitful, effective representatives of Christ through the rest of the week in all of life. So in the second section of this passage, verses 18 to 24, Paul goes through a whole load of really, really kind of normal everyday activities of life. None of the things listed in verses 18 to 24 are remotely spiritual, but they all really matter because whatever we do matters. So our marriages matter. How husbands and wives relate to and treat each other matters. Our parenting matters. If you're a child, and everybody here has been a child, how you treat your parents matters. And then verse 22, Paul talks about slaves and masters. And you may think, well, that's not really very relevant to me. But are you an employee? Martin is. Do you work for someone? Or are you the boss? Are there people who you manage? Do people work for you? Well, we've missed that bit out, but in the verses straight after these, Paul has a word for employers, but he has a massive word for employees here. And it's all very practical. But can I say, the headline principle for all of life is what he says in verse 23. Verse 23 is almost a repetition of verse 17. It's like a parallel verse to verse 17. He says, verse 23, whatever you do, whether that's being a husband, whether that's being a wife, whether that's being a child, whether that's being a parent, whether it's working for a boss, whether it's being the boss, whatever it is, Paul says, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Whatever you do, he says, if you're in Christ, You're his ambassador. You're his representative. Whether you're in college, in the surgery, in the office, on a Zoom call, whatever you do, if you do it in his name, if you do it with all your heart, if you do it for his glory, then suddenly, everything matters. Everything. So somebody has pointed out that when Paul wrote this letter, loads of people in this Colossian church would have been slaves. They would have been household servants. And generally speaking, if you were a slave, nothing you said or did really had that much importance. It didn't seem to matter. And don't you feel like that sometimes about your life and your work? My job is thankless. You know, maybe not every day, but some days I think my job is worthless. No one's listening. You might think, you know what? It just doesn't make any difference what I do. No one cares. No one sees. But here, Paul is giving them and us a much, much bigger vision. What you do matters, he says. How you spend your Sundays matters. But then how you spend your Monday matters. If you do it as working for the Lord, not man. I just want to go back for a moment and look at two words that have come up in this passage that are difficult words, and I want to go back and just look at those two briefly. The first word is slaves. Paul doesn't seem to condemn slavery at all. You won't find the New Testament condemns slavery. He just seems to accept that slaves were a fact of life of the Roman Empire. But we need to be a little bit more careful how we read the Bible. So remember, the message of the gospel says that without distinction, all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. The only distinction that matters now is whether you are in Christ or not in Christ. And so Paul, in another letter, Galatians actually, listen to this. He says, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. When a church like this one in Colossae gathered to meet, slaves and free citizens would have mingled together on equal terms, openly and freely. They were all equally redeemed by Christ. They were all equally beloved of God. They were, because everything in the gospel confirmed it. We might wish that Paul really expressly condemned slavery. We might wish that he did. But the point is, he didn't need to. He didn't need to. The gospel was quietly and completely subverting and undermining slavery. If you're not sure about that, come and talk to me afterwards about what the Bible says about slavery. But it's really important we see that. The second word that might sound a bit alarming is in verse 18. Submit. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. We could spend a whole sermon on that verse, couldn't we? But I'm not going to, because that's not the main point today. But let me just say one or two things I think are really important here. First thing to say, submission in the Bible never, never means or even implies inferiority. Never. In our culture today, though, we often think, don't we, if someone submits, it makes them less. But we're very inconsistent about this. Because actually, there are lots of times when we are perfectly willing to submit. So when you go down to the hall for your coffee in a moment, when you queue for your coffee, what are you doing? You are submitting to the person in front of you. Yeah? You don't just barge in front of them, do you? Do you? When I went to see a film at the depot in Lewis this week, I submitted to the man who asked to see my tickets. He was a boy, actually, but I still submitted to him. He asked, and I gave. I can submit without in any way becoming inferior. But you know what? Think about the Trinity. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, both equally and completely God, God the Holy Spirit, equally and completely God, yet the Son willingly submits to the Father. You can read that in John's Gospel. The Son willingly submits to the Father. Is the Son inferior to the Father? Absolutely not. Submission does not mean inferiority. But here's the second thing to say about submit. Submission in the Bible is only ever submission if it is willingly and freely given. If I make someone submit, that is not submission. That is tyranny. And the Bible never, ever calls anyone to make someone submit. Never. So remember the big principle here. I am a representative. I am an ambassador for Christ. Therefore, whatever I do, whether it's being a husband, whether it's being a wife, I work at it with all my heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, because it's Jesus who I am serving. And all Paul has done is say, this is what it looks like in a whole range of really everyday places and things. This is what that looks like. So I want to finish with this little book by Tim Chester. It's called The Everyday Gospel, A Theology of Washing the Dishes. Because he's making the same sort of point, but just with a slightly different emphasis. I just want to ask, is there anybody here who loves washing dishes? Really? So, is there anybody here, let's put that a little bit further, is there anybody here for whom the main event is washing dishes? So, you eat a meal, but really you just eat the meal in order to get to the dishes, in order to wash them. You really can't get a more mundane job than washing up. But he makes this really interesting point. It's such a short book, but it's very interesting. He says, what motivates you to wash up? Actually, what motivates you to do any job? What motivates... We could put Noreen on the spot here, couldn't we? What motivates you to wash up? He says one possibility is the legalist. Now, this is going to ring true for a lot of people. The legalist says, I wash up because I feel that I ought to. The motivation is ought. The result, he says, is that they wash up the cutlery and the plates, but they leave the pans to soak and do not wipe down the surfaces. Do you recognize yourself here? They do that because they don't really want to do the washing up. So they do just enough to claim that it has been done. That's the legalist. That's the motivation for washing up if you are a legalist. The second motivation, though, is even worse, I'm afraid. The second motivation for washing up is to look good or to impress people. So who's this going to be? Oh, don't worry. I'll do it. You go out and enjoy yourselves. I'll stay here and I will do it. It's okay. I'm fine. We do it because we want to look good. We want to prove ourselves. But we know, don't we, when that's our motivation, in the end, we will become resentful and angry. The best motivation is the one that Paul gives us here, isn't it? Whatever you do, washing up, serving, singing, preaching, working from home, looking after children, whatever you do, he says, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not man. We are his ambassadors. You represent Christ. So everything you do and how you do it matters. Everything. It's such a big vision, isn't it? It's a transforming vision of life and how we do it. I want to finish just by showing you a little video from London Institute of Contemporary Christianity. So could we play the...